This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX, and because we like to pay attention what's happening globally, as we do as often as we possibly can on this show, we thought that it would be a good opportunity today to check in on the ceasefire talks that are happening or not happening between Russia and Ukraine, also Israel and Hamas. They have a ceasefire that has been broken. So we'll get into all of that with retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton, former U.S. Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, and a senior national security contributor for News Nation. And we've got the retired Lieutenant General with us now on KMOX. General Newton, good to talk to you. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good to be with you. I'm calling in from, actually live down here in Jupiter, Florida. So St. Louis Cardinal ball caps around town for the last couple of weeks, and I've been watching closely spring training. So baseball's about ready to kick off, and I'm excited, as I'm sure many of your listeners are as well.
Are they behaving, those red baseball caps?
They behave every year. Yep, we go out to Roger Dean Stadium quite a bit, but it's always good to have the fans come down to kick off spring training, knowing that, again, baseball is just around the corner, so all good.
Well, General, we should have you join our show, The Gas House Gang, which is all about Cardinals baseball. You could
That's right.
A special correspondent for Cardinals baseball.
Well, I'd be delighted to. in fact, that's how I got to the Air Force Academy. I was recruited to play ball there.
Really?
But they don't need me anymore, nor does any Major League Baseball team need me at all. But I'm a big baseball enthusiast and kind of know quite a few of the big leaguers around town, so especially the retired baseball players who find their home now down here in South Florida.
I don't know. I do think it'd probably be a nice addition to your title, senior national security contributor and baseball contributor.
Yeah, and if you need a middle reliever, for two pitches in the seventh inning, call on Dick Newton. How's that?
Oh, I bet you could get outs, and we could use the help.
Oh, we could use the help. So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've got a lot of close friends are Cardinal fans, so I know you're needing some arms like a lot of other ball clubs.
That's right. Well, getting down to business then. Yesterday, President Trump spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin about halting attacks on energy facilities, and it seems that they came to an agreement after a lengthy phone call. However, hours after that phone call, both Russia and Ukraine accused one another of launching airstrikes on infrastructure sites. So what do we know about that phone call and whether or not each country really did keep attacking infrastructure?
Yeah, it really, President Trump's call with Putin yesterday, it was 90 minutes, by the way, in the White House. It really does signal what the Wall Street Journal refers to. It's going to be a long road ahead to any Russia-Ukraine deal. And let's put into context the deals that are trying to be played here. One is, first, just to come up with a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire, say, for 30 days, and then follow on that with a long-term peace agreement that would, as President Trump has effectively said, you know, of an unwinnable war, and I would agree with that, and really, frankly, just stop the killing on both sides. But what came out of yesterday was essentially Putin agreeing to a somewhat of a limited ceasefire, what we call a partial ceasefire in diplomatic parlance, that would call for a halt on attacks from both Russia and Ukraine on their energy infrastructure. Then you turn around overnight, there are now dueling accusations that have both come true since the phone call yesterday. And President Zelensky of Ukraine effectively reported that there were 145 Russian drone attacks, several cruise missile attacks, even ballistic missile attacks against Ukrainian oil and electric grid infrastructure overnight. And then Ukraine also countered that and attacked Russian oil infrastructure in the southern part of Russia. So things are starting slow out of the gate. At least we've got conversations and discussions. My final point is President Trump has had a follow-up call with President Zelensky earlier today for about an hour to give him some feedback on that call he had with Putin. So lots happening. My expectations, I'm an optimistic kind of person, but a realist also. So I'm holding my breath on expectations here, but at least there's discussions and conversations that are going on moving forward.
Trump said the call with Zelensky was very good. So do we know exactly how well it went?
No, we don't. My sources, I don't have a readout either. Again, I'm 1,200 miles away from Washington, D.C., down here in South Florida. But I think you're going to see moving forward. What I anticipate is you'll see negotiating teams from both the United States and Russia meet likely in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in the next week or so. I think you'll also see United States as well as Ukrainian negotiating teams meeting separately. I don't know if they'll meet in Saudi at this point, but they'll be what we call dual tracks, one United States with Russia and the other United States with Ukraine. I've negotiated with the Russians before. They're hard-nosed. They cannot be trusted, frankly. As President Reagan say, any negotiated settlement you get with the Russians or any adversary for that matter, you got to trust but verify to some point. But this is a long haul. This is going to take, this isn't within arm's reach, say, of weeks, likely months through 2025.
Yeah, General Newton, that is exactly where I wanted to go with this, that it seems that dealing with Vladimir Putin is, and the Ukrainians are very skeptical of any deal he says that he will agree to. First of all, he doesn't want to concede much. It looks like that. And then if he does, going back on his word seems like the most likely thing to happen. So how do you negotiate with somebody who is not trustworthy?
Well, first off, his demands have actually increased. I'll give you a quick lineup of what they look like. First off, he wants to completely or nearly demilitarize Ukraine, their military forces. He's not agreeing to a good proposal, by the way, that came out of the United Kingdom and Europe of providing a peacekeeping force in Ukraine should a peace agreement be settled. That would be up to 30,000 European peacekeeping troops. That's a good move, but Putin is not going to be starting off. He does not want that to happen. He's actually asking and demanding more land than he already took all the way back to 2014 when he took Crimea in the south, as well as most recently after that brutal attack, the largest invasion, if I may, since World War II, when Putin attacked Ukraine back in February of 2022. He's insisting Ukraine not become a member of NATO. All the while, he's, again, this whole idea of demilitarizing Ukraine, but no European peacekeeping force, all the while with the backdrop of asking for more territory ceded by Ukraine. And then finally, he's insisting that the sanctions that President Trump has effectively laid on Russia over the last several weeks, he wants those lifted. And those sanctions are principally based on the export of oil and gas from Russia to a variety of European customers, if you will. So a lot to unpack here, but that's really what I think you're going to see is a very hard-nosed Putin while he tries to maintain the offensive in this war of attrition that's been ensuing for the last several months, if not a couple of years, where Ukraine is now on the defensive.
Yeah, I know, my goodness, now we were talking about this a year ago, but Vladimir Putin is a dictator, an autocrat. He wants to, I'm sure, rebuild the Soviet Union. He considers the fall of the Soviet Union one of the greatest travesties in human history. So he started this war. How much does his ego and feeling like he cannot surrender at all, he cannot give an inch because that would be a loss for him, how much is that going to stop him from agreeing to anything?
Well, first off, let me add another term to your list of Putin. He's also a war criminal, attacking civilian targets in a heinous way that the Russian army has moved, tried to move through, although valiantly defended by Ukrainian President Zelensky. But his goal is to drag things out because he wants to, you know, put Ukraine in an untenable position where they have to make peace. But again, here's what I believe is going to happen is I think you're going to see Putin being, again, staying on the offensive, not only militarily, but diplomatically, as we've kind of seen over the last several hours after that phone call with President Trump. Let me also put into context here. I want to get back to topic, though. We're really, in terms of the peace negotiations or the ceasefire, to take a baseball vernacular, we're really in spring training right now. And so we've got several games away and moves and steps and wins and losses, if you will, from a U.S. national security perspective and from a Ukraine perspective in Europe before we get to a culminating point in the next several months. Okay, got it. But really, the thing that I believe President Trump has effectively tried to put into play and will put into play, and the one leverage we do have, is to leverage the economic mess that Putin finds himself in with regard to sanctions that President Trump has begun to levy. The enforcement of those sanctions, especially against oil and gas revenues for President Putin, as well as, again, marshaling, I think now, strong U.S. leadership since that tumultuous Oval Office meeting he had with President Zelensky back on February 28th. So there is some momentum on our side. We would anticipate, and you can expect, Putin to play hardball, but he has cards. President Trump has cards. Now it's a matter of seeing how they follow through with that.
Retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton, before we let you go, I did want to ask you about what's going on in Israel. The past couple of days, Israel has conducted more airstrikes, and then the Wall Street Journal reporting that Israel has sent ground troops into the center and south of the Gaza Strip. What do you make of where are we with this conflict right now? Hamas, not surprisingly, as a terrorist organization, breaking its promises, not releasing hostages, and Israel continuing to push forward.
Yeah, again, going back to October 7th, that heinous attack, that brutal attack on Israel and innocent civilians, Hamas took 251 hostages by design so they would be in a position to hold some cards, if you will, of still hanging on to these hostages in order for their own survival. Here's the bottom line. Hamas has been given every opportunity to release the remaining 59 hostages. 35 of them are dead, 24 alive. One of them happens to be American. Four of the dead also are Americans. The two-month ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is absolutely over. Israel and the United States, having waited for Hamas somewhat patiently to release those 59 hostages, the gloves are off. President Trump is strongly backing Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. That's a very good thing. Meanwhile, Hamas has rearmed. They've recruited up to hundreds, if not thousands, of new terrorist fighters from the Palestinian people. They're scavenging explosive, unexploded ordnance on the battlefield. And they have indicated that they're going to attack Israel again. That's why Israel has acted with the air attack a couple evenings or so ago, and now you're seeing Israeli Defense Forces, as I can report, in Gaza now, back in Gaza, and Israel is striving to retake that Netzarim corridor, which, again, that separates north and south Gaza. They need to do so in order to quell any type of additional uprising by Hamas and to compel them either through the peace negotiating table or by brute force to, again, release those hostages. That's the bottom line. Second point is in my view, and I would support Prime Minister Netanyahu here, has to continue to strive to destroy Hamas, because they will try to rise again and attack Israel like we saw back on October 7th. Final point. All roads lead back to Iran. And to put into context for our listeners here, Iran, bottom line, is still trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to prevent the United States from maintaining our national security interests in the region. Finally, they're trying to acquire, develop, and then they would employ a nuclear weapon. If that happens, if they get their hands on a nuclear weapon, all bets are off in terms of Mideast, U.S. national security interests. President Trump's not going to allow them to do that, nor would Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton, we appreciate your time. Thank you for talking with us today.
Delighted, and hope we get to speak again.
We will.
Old Cardinal.
Yeah, you're in.
Absolutely, you're in.
You're in the mix now.
Okay.
In fact, you're required, so.
I think you're going to come to regret this, but we're excited.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
We got plenty of baseball. We got great minor league baseball down here also.
Awesome. Enjoy it. Thank you, General.
Thank you, sir.
General Newton is the senior national security contributor to News Nation with us here on KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know this one, Amy?
Never heard it.
You haven't heard this one, really?
No, but this is your kind of music, right?
No, I don't really like life. But you might listening.
That sounds like your music.
If you're listening.
I don't like life. What are you talking about? You love them.
They're fine.
Oh, my gosh.
They're fine.
But
Collective Soul and Life. I'm not trying to crap on the music you're trying to win tickets to right now.
He forgot where he was for a second.
I forgot why we're talking about them. And we're talking about them because we're giving away tickets to see Live and Collective Soul.
Yes.
They are two different bands. They are performing at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater July 17th. And we have a pair of tickets to give away right now to caller number
5.
To the contest line, 955-1120, 955-1120, that's a 314 number, 314-955-1120. And if you are caller 5, you're going to win tickets to see Collective Soul
and live July 17th, Hollywood live, Casino Amphitheater.
Live, yeah, in concert.
Oh, I say we're emphasizing live because you may have heard earlier. I thought it was Collective Soul live at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
No, two bands, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And for you, if you win two bands for the price of nothing, you can't beat that. There's nothing better than free, Amy. Literally nothing is better than
that's
free.
That's true.
Unless they give you money to also do whatever it is. Like, yeah. Here's a pair of tickets to see Collective Soul in live and
$20. Yeah.
Now that's
but
better.
this is about as good as it gets.
So, can I tell you something?
Yes,
what's
you
just
can.
I know we've only got about a minute here. We got to go to break. Will Leach is going to talk some baseball, March Madness, all kinds of stuff with us. These JFK files that have been released, about 80,000 pages of the JFK files, just as I figured would be, absolute dud. Absolute dud. People are combing through all of these files, and they're finding nothing of import. And I'm going to tell you, I knew it was going to be this way, not because of anything nefarious. I just think it's the exact opposite. People were looking for nefarious because they think the government is out to get all of us, especially since that assassination happened, and it had to have been a conspiracy. It had to have been the CIA, and it had to have been the FBI, or the Cubans, and maybe also the Russians who killed...
And the mob.
And the mob who killed John Kennedy. No, man. I used to buy into all that stuff. I don't anymore. I just don't.
I think when something's so tragic, people can't process it, so you have to...
It has to be something...
You have to find something.
It has to be something bigger than some 24-year-old idiot trying to make a name for himself. Yeah. It can't be that easy to assassinate the president. And so we have to tell ourselves that it's a conspiracy. But Lee Oswald, he was a doofus and went up there and did it all by himself. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to Will Leach. Some Cardinals, some March Madness talk, and who knows where else we go. We do have Cardinals baseball coming up at 11:50, too, on KMOX. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're moving to new hours, 9 to noon starting on Monday when we switch to 104.1 KMOX. We'll still be on 11:20 a.m. as well. Don't worry about that. So if you like that signal not going away, obviously, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. We go to the guest line this morning, and we bring in a friend of the show, Will Leach, who is a writer, contributor to New York Magazine, MLB.com. You can catch his movie reviews on Grierson and Leach. And Will Leach is with us now on KMOX. How's it going, Will?
Of course. Thanks for having me. I feel like I'm on the pregame show today. You guys are going to the game. This is exciting. It's the closest I'll ever get to host one.
Well, listen, this is it's very close to pregame. So it's going to be us and you, and then pregame starts at about 11:55, and then we have Cardinals baseball today.
Well, then I will pretend the weather here in Florida is beautiful.
Hey, there you go.
I'm there. I'm on set.
So we are getting closer to the season here. The opener is Monday. Or excuse me, but we're switching on Monday. But the opener is next week on the 27th, and they will host the Minnesota Twins. So as we are almost, just a little over a week away from opening day, how are you feeling about these birds?
You know, it's weird. It's been a strange spring because it's felt like kind of like the way the whole season kind of feels already, which is kind of in the middle, right? Like you want to get excited. Like to me, one of the best stories of the spring has been Victor Scott. Victor Scott has, there's a great story by John Denton at MLB.com today about all the work that Victor Scott has put in, how he went to Jupiter early this year, how he's been studying Rod Carew and Vince Coleman, and really he's like dedicated himself to making it this year. And he's had a terrific spring, and he's still may go to Memphis, which is strange because theoretically this is the season where the Cardinals were going to be building all around these sort of type of young players. And I think that's indicative. It's certainly not Scott's fault that he could be sent to Memphis, so that's not certain yet. It's really more that like the Cardinals are kind of in this middle ground of, okay, it's kind of a reset year where you want to play the young players. So you've gotten Jordan Walker. So you've gotten Nolan Gorman. So you've gotten some of these guys. See if they can establish themselves the way that, say, Mason Wynn has. But then you look at the rotation, and there's three guys over 30, and two of which are in the last year of the contracts, and it feels like the Cardinals are they're not rebuilding, but they're not really going for it either. I think there's an upside to this team. I do, and for all the talk about Nolan Arenado and the trade in the offseason, I think this team is better with Nolan Arenado. Hot take: future Hall of Famer being on the team makes them better. I think at a certain level, there's stuff to be excited about this year's team. It's just hard to get your arms around the direction because there are young players there, but some of them are playing and some of them aren't, and some older players have left and some haven't. It's hard to figure out exactly whether they have whether this is really kind of a half measure season, whether they're going all the way in or they're not going all the way in.
Well, I think maybe indicative of that confusion or maybe kind of trouble reconciling the language that's being used with what we're seeing on the field. You know, a lot of talk about it's a tryout here in spring training and players are going to earn their spots. And a lot of baseball analysts are saying, well, if you're looking at it as a pure tryout, Victor Scott II has had such a great spring training, and yet it looks like the team's moving with Michael Ciani, which then would imply it's not just a straight up tryout looking at your performance at spring training.
Yeah, and I think part of that too is getting back to this whole idea of what exactly is the goal for this season. Because I think the real reason that Scott maybe is not making the team over Ciani is not so much that they like Ciani more. I mean, they're roughly the same age. I mean, Ciani's a little bit older. It's really more that they think long-term Scott is a guy that can be a centerpiece of this team, but they want to get him at bats every day. So then the question is, okay, well, why don't you just put him in center field now? Well, the problem is you kind of want to make sure Lars Nubar gets to play every day, and so does Brendan Donovan, and so does Jordan Walker, which is to say you're thinking more about this year's team rather than the future. And I think it really puts in stark terms that kind of inherent conflict that's happening this year. And I wonder if there will be some clarity with this. It's the spring training. Eventually the games happen and people start playing. We start seeing things in real time and guys start getting hurt. And just like a lot of times these decisions get made for you. But I do think that general confusion that Cardinals fans have had, Victor Scott II is the perfect example of it. And it's funny because the Cardinals would argue that the fact that they're sending him down is in fact a sign that they have faith in him because they don't want him to come up and be in center field and be a platoon with Lars Nootbaar, have to fight for time. They want him to be in Memphis and play every day. And that does make a certain amount of sense, except, okay, well, then they better get a result out of playing someone like Lars Nootbaar in center field every day this year immediately. And I think that's the thing, is if you want to work for the future, it's Scott. If you want to work for now, it's Nootbaar. But then we find ourselves in this middle space of, okay, what is this year about again? Because they didn't add anything to where this year would make you feel like was what was most important to them. I think that's what's confusing. And yeah, and Scott has almost forced their hand. I think if Scott would have struggled in the spring a little bit, this would have been obvious. Like, he needs more time in Memphis. He looks quite ready now, which I think makes it that much more a difficult position and that much more confusing to the fans.
You know, I think that you're right. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to the fan base because they look at the offseason, they feel like they did not do enough one way or the other. You have people like Jim Bowden, whether or not you agree with him, who I believe gave them an F for their offseason. I don't know if it was that bad, but there were a lot of people around baseball and executives around baseball anonymously who said they were surprised the Cardinals did not do more. So do you feel that way? Do you feel like it was a bad offseason for them?
Well, at a certain level, and I, with all due respect for Jim Bowden and my fellow media members, we tend to give low grades for people that give us less things to talk about over the offseason. And the Cardinals didn't give anyone anything to talk about in the offseason, so there's a sense of, well, come on, it's the hot stove. We're supposed to be doing stuff, and the Cardinals did nothing. So I think an F is definitely too harsh. I do think, however, that the notion that the Cardinals didn't do anything, I didn't know one until Phil Maton just last week, the fact they didn't do anything certainly would seem to indicate, okay, 2025 isn't the priority. I think that's okay. If that's the goal, if that's what's clear about the team, I don't think they made to me, the bad off seasons are when you make a mistake that will cost you for a long time. Well, you sign a player that for more money because you're desperate or you want to win right now. The Cardinals did not make any mistakes like that this offseason. They couldn't. They didn't sign anyone. But at a certain level, to me, a bad off season would have been looking at the 2025 team and saying, okay, we've got to spend as much money as possible to try to make this team win right now, or like trading away a young player to try to go out somewhat like bad idea to go after a championship this year. That would have been a bad offseason. The Cardinals did not do that, which is to me why I think an F is kind of ridiculous. But then it comes back to this original that original notion, though, of, okay, well, if you're not going to do anything in the offseason, that tells us that 2025 isn't that much of a priority. So show us what you're doing for 2026. But they're not really doing that either. And I think that, and listen, it's hard. It's let's not forget the Cardinals have a somewhat unprecedented transition in management coming off this season, right? Like the idea that this is John Mozeliak's last year and he'll be Heimblum next year. They talk about it being a smooth transition. Everyone seems to say the right things and they seem like upfront people. But then you see this awkwardness of, okay, wait, are we doing this year or are we not doing this year? You can't help but wonder if that kind of transition of, okay, you're in charge now, but this person will be in charge next year, is leading to this sense of almost suspended animation with the team.
Where do you see Michael McGreevy in the Cardinals' rotation this year, if at all?
I think one thing they're definitely doing right with him is they're going to keep him as a starter, whether he starts in Memphis or whether he starts in St. Louis, which I think is definitely smart. The Cardinals have been sometimes kind of tug guys back and forth. They'll start in the rotation. They'll put him in the bullpen. They'll go back and forth in that way. I think committing to McGreevy as a rotation guy seems very smart. And I, one of the things that's been frustrating is when they've talked about the competition for the last starting spot in the rotation, they've been like, it's between McGreevy and Liberatore, or McGreevy and Pallante, which honestly, like, if we were talking about something different than 25 versus 26, it'd be like, well, both those guys are pitching better than Miles Michaelis. Both those guys are pitching better than Steven Matz. Why are we putting the competition between these two young players when ostensibly those just put them both in there Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz are clearly not a part of the Cardinals' future. I think maybe they'll get some value out of them this year. I think I'm probably more optimistic about Matz than Michaelis, but certainly maybe you can get something out of them this year. But if the point is to build to this future, you've got two pitchers in their 20s who have been pitching, with three pitchers in their 20s who have been pitching well and seem to be up for a rotation spot, but their spots are blocked not by each other, but by guys in their 30s. And so McGreevy is, I think, he's kind of the pitching equivalent of Scott in that kind of idea, where he's kind of earned a spot, and I think it would make some sense to put him there. But you've got kind of these older players that you can't really push out of the way. And I think that's another thing that Cardinal fans have noticed. One of the things that I think has been frustrating about the last few years has been the notion that there's a certain inertia that comes in. You respect the vets. You got to give this guy some, even if things are, some player's not performing, he's been here a while. He's leadership. He's good in the clubhouse and so on. And there's certainly value to that, but you still have to be able to perform on the field. That sort of Cardinals inertia of always kind of bending toward the older players and leaning toward tradition rather than like necessarily feeling like they're doing something new. I do feel like that's the sort of thing you're seeing specifically with a Michaelis. I think Matz, I think they're kind of counting on Matz getting hurt at some point. So I think that situation resolving itself. But certainly when it comes to the adherence to the idea that McGreevy and Liberatore and Pallante, there might not be spots in the rotation because of Miles Michaelis, who's going to be gone next year no matter what, is, again, indicative of that kind of in-the-middle confusion that the Cardinals are kind of at right now.
All right, so your Fighting Illini will play on Friday in the NCAA tournament. They will play the winner of Xavier and Texas, a game that is tonight. Who would you rather see?
No matter who I say, I'd rather see that team's going to win tonight and beat Illinois. I just have already accepted that. So please don't play this for either team. But at a certain level, I do think talent-wise, Texas has a higher level talent team. Illinois is a very talented team that has had trouble executing at times. They actually struggled with the higher level teams. They tend to play pretty well against your sort of general bubble teams. Texas is a kind of a disappointing team like Illinois that could turn it on at any time. So I think I'd rather have Xavier, but please edit and change this if Texas wins tonight, because I feel exactly the opposite in that case. But it's very strange. I want to get so excited. I'm very envious of Mizzou fans. They know who they're playing, and they get to be angry because everyone's been picking Drake. Drake has been like the hot upset and so on, and that gets to get fired up. I can't even get fired up about the matchup because I don't even know who we're playing yet. So, but it'll be a kind of, I think both, this has been a really fun season for both Illinois and Mizzou, as obviously with the Bragg and Rights game, it's always a really, both teams have tracked each other throughout the year. To see them both getting the same seed while going very different routes to get there, I think it speaks very well for not only both those programs, but some pretty great Bragg and Rights games in the future.
Well, I wish you the best of luck tonight, whatever happens, which I know you think is going to be the wrong thing. So it'll be.
Of course. It's Murphy's Law. Whatever, I will watch this game dispassionately in every possible way so as not to upset the college basketball gods. Yeah. Whoever comes to us, comes to us.
Will Leach, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. And you're going to have to be part of the new Gas House Gang show, which is going to start on Monday at 12. We're going 12 to 1. So we'll want you to be part of that moving forward.
I will follow Bernie and everyone else into wherever you will have me.
That's
Thanks
right.
for having me. Enjoy the game today.
See ya. That is Will Leach with us. And yeah, does a podcast with our guy, Bernie Miklas, who is part of the new Gas House Gang show, which will, and it has been going on YouTube, on the KMOX 1120 YouTube page. That's been going on for a while, but now it's going to be live on the air starting at 12. So it goes for 1 hour, Monday through Friday, here on KMOX on the air. When we switch to 104.1 FM.
On Monday, and then our new time, 9 a.m. to noon, as you mentioned. And, Ron, we also wanted to let people know, if you think you missed out on the First Pitch Breakfast with Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman, it is...
Oh, on Thursday, opening day.
On Thursday, March 27th, so it's before Kegs and Eggs. It's a separate event, and you got to buy tickets for it. There are still some tables left, and it's going to be a ton of fun, lots of storytelling, not broadcast. So the only way to hear these stories is to buy a ticket and go, and they're going to have, like, bottomless mimosas, all kinds of food.
Yeah, Budweiser, there's going to be food. There is a menu you can look at. Mm-hmm. So the food is part of the deal. You get a commemorative mug, a First Pitch Breakfast KMOX mug, which they're giving out.
I think that mug, too, is the first 104.1 FM KMOX glass stein.
It is.
Like, it's the first one that's going to have the FM on it.
That is 100% correct. And if you want tickets for it and to find all the information, everything they're serving. Oh, also, if you go to it, you get tickets for the game Saturday.
Oh, that's right. The Cardinals are giving away extra tickets.
That's right.
To the First Pitch, I mean. You're going to get even more tickets.
That's for the First Pitch Breakfast, KMOX.com/events. KMOX.com/events for the First Pitch Breakfast. And then immediately following that, a separate ticketed event is our annual Kegs and Eggs celebration. And I'm here to tell you, that one, damn near gone.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's, you... Yes, so you better hurry. All the tables have already been sold for that. There are some individual tickets left, but not many. KMOX.com/events. That event gets started at 11 o'clock.
And you don't want to miss the show tomorrow because our March Madness begins. We're doing the best St. Louis pizza. We're starting with a field of 64. It's going to be so much fun, a whole bracket system for the best pizza in St. Louis. You'll be able to vote on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. And our goal is to create controversy and to make you livid.
That wasn't our fault. The sandwich scandal was not our fault.
That was
everybody else.
Was not our fault.
It was the listeners' fault.
Remember, Jane had to leave the state afterwards.
I know.
Jane, who helped us, she didn't do anything wrong. She just made the bracket for the sandwich scandal. Had to move. Had to leave.
Yeah, well, that was the listener screwed that up.
They
not
really
us.
Did. It was not our fault.
So
we're gonna do a pizza one tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow, our tournament will begin. We got to say goodbye here though, because we have Cardinals baseball
Hot
coming
dog.
Up in just a matter of seconds, minutes actually. That is coming up, and then we'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. That's right, the Chris and Amy Show. Oh, congratulations, Maria in St. Louis won those tickets for Collective Soul and Live. We'll give away more tickets tomorrow. Back with you tomorrow at 10 on KMOX.